Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. Today I have returning guests, and it's only him this time. I have Phil from Chico.
Hello, everybody.
Which is not his actual name, but it's his stage name, and I'm not allowed to say his full name.
You could say my full name.
Because he's hiding from the government.
That's also true.
You told me I couldn't say your name, and now I can.
No, you asked me what my preference was. I said Phil from Chico. You can say my name.
Oh, so we've got Phil Corbin here.
There you go.
Anyway, actually, this is going to be the first time you and I have talked since this big incident that occurred in your life. I feel like I'm fucking like Barbara Walters right now. But and I was purposely like not asking you questions before because I wanted to find out now. So, so I guess how many days ago did that status or did Andrew's status go up?
Andrew's status probably went up 4 or 5 days ago.
Okay. So 4 or 5 days ago, I'll tell you what I saw and then I want you to go on about what I've missed because I don't know exactly what happened.
All right.
So about 4 or 5 days ago, our mutual friend Andrew posted something about you being in a rehab facility, but that you were okay and that you just had to let everyone know because I guess people were trying to get in touch with you and couldn't. So they were panicking, where the fuck's Phil? So he, you know, said that. I immediately Facebook messaged you just being like, I love you. I had no idea what was going on, but you and I have been boys. Yeah. So
we're
I was just like, fuck. Like my heart was like, what the fuck's going on with Phil? And I got really upset thinking about you being in pain and not having reached out. But, you know, that's my own probably Jewish guilt coming in. And then you did a status, I guess a day or two ago.
Yesterday.
That kind of went into what exactly it was, but I want you to explain to me and to everyone listening what happened.
Okay. All right. So I have been fighting depression since I can remember, since I was a kid even. And I never dealt with it. I just like drank and did drugs. And then I guess my depression, I guess the trigger, which kind of made me finally like want to fix it, I guess, like for real, like something more permanent, was I ruined my relationship. I ruined my last relationship and I had never felt that depressed before. Like that was the lowest I'd ever been. Like I was having panic attacks physically. Like I was sweating, shaking, dry heaving, throwing up.
First of all, I didn't know you had ruined it. Like when I had asked about what happened, I hadn't, you know what I mean? Like you don't need to tell me details, but like I had no idea. Like what do you mean? Like the drinking had or?
No, actually I was sober, but my depression, I closed off. I pushed her away.
Okay.
And I wasn't there for her the way I said I'd be. So, and it was all just my own shit. So that all happened. That was kind of a trigger. And it was literally some of the worst pain I've ever been in my life. And I had been about 45 days sober at the time. Then I just went back to drinking. And it wasn't helping. And so last Thursday, I finally kind of just decided I'm going to go to the hospital and I'm going to talk to a doctor. And this is where I fucked up. I went to the doctor and I said, you know, I'm in pain. I need some medication. Like this isn't normal how I'm feeling. And I felt this way for a long time. I need some kind of help. And this is where being a comedian gets you in trouble. They asked me, okay, so have you had any thoughts about harming other people? And I said, yeah, all the time. I live in New York City, dude. I think about—
So you made a joke.
Yeah, I was like, I think about kicking people in front of taxis every day.
Oh, Phil, yeah, not the time to try to get a laugh.
Every day. Every single day. Anytime somebody doesn't hold the elevator door for me.
Did you really say all this? Yeah, you just went on a fucking minute
like, oh,
set?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like, anytime somebody doesn't hold the elevator door for me, in my head, I'm like, I hope the elevator crashes. I hope those people die in a fire. Like,
oh, my God.
And I'm telling that to this doctor. And this doctor's like, holy shit. I'm thinking it's funny. Then the doctor says, all right, so have you had any thoughts about hurting yourself? And I was like, dude, did you not just hear me? I live in New York City. Fuck yes, every day. Anytime I'm waiting for the train, I think about how much easier my life would be if it was over. And just diving in front of the train. I'm saying all this
to
this
doctor.
How did
you not know that they're asking these questions for a reason, Phil?
I'm an absolute maniac. I'm an idiot. I don't know.
This is like therapy 101. Like when they say, do you want to hurt someone? Unless you do want to hurt someone and you do need help to prevent yourself from doing that or yourself, but like...
I'm an idiot.
Holy shit.
I wasn't taking it seriously at all. I was just like, all right, bada boom, bada
bing. You were depressed, but trying to make some light in the situation.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, you're going to give me meds and I'm going to get out of here. I got shit to do. That was my whole thought process. And then I said all that and they took my shoes and they took my belt and they sat me down, took my blood pressure, took some blood, urine sample, blah, blah, blah. And then I was sitting there kind of like, all right, can I go now? And they're like, oh, dude, you're not going anywhere. You're hanging out. You're going to be here for at least a few days.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Did you have like a phone to contact people?
They took my cell phone.
Holy shit. That's so scary. That's such a trapped feeling.
Oh, yeah. I flipped out. They when they first told me I wasn't leaving, I was like throwing papers and cursing and, you know, fuck you. I said the whitest thing I've ever said in my life.
What'd you say?
I said, I'm going to get my dad to sue you. It's the whitest thing I've ever said in my life. But I said that. I was angry. I was like, I'm going to get my dad to sue you. Fuck you. Let me go. Da 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 da. They ended up calling the crisis team, which is the people who come and grab you and put a syringe in your neck and make you go to sleep. And before they could do that, one of the nurses kind of grabbed me and they kind of was just like, listen, you're going to be here whether you like it or not. If you want to get out as soon as possible, you need to calm down right now. And so I calmed down. And then I kind of just accepted that I was going to be there for a few days. And I just rolled with it. And
I mean, it really sucks that, because I know you and I know that in the past, the way you would deal with depression or those feelings, right, would be to like drown them out with drinking. And here you were trying to not go that route and, you know, get some medication or whatever. And then like next thing you know, this is happening. Mm-hmm. And like it just sucks because I want you to know, although, you know, I'm just a friend saying this, like.
Oh, you're more than a friend, Kate.
You know what I mean,
though. You're my spirit animal. Kate Wolf is my spirit animal.
I love you. I just want you to know that, like, and, you know, we brought these and I probably will cry, but that's fine. The next time you do feel that down, mm-hmm. I don't want this situation that just happened to stop you from trying to go about it in a way where you're not going to drinking because, you know, when I first met you, you have like a tough exterior thing that comes off at first, right? It's you got that kind of accent thing, you know, like, but immediately, because we became friends real quick, your sweetness and your kind heart just comes out.
Don't tell people I have a kind heart. What are you doing? I'm a thug, everybody. Right. Everybody listening, right. I am a thug.
Yes, he is. Yes, thug he life. Is a thug. Mm-hmm.
I'm gangster, all right? Don't listen
My
to
My dad's going
to
sue this place. But, but, you know, so what I've really admired about you is you've told me some things about childhood and things you've seen. And there are a lot of people who go through those things and allow it to harden. And I'm not saying you don't have hardened places, but you also really try to be a good person, an honest person, and you keep trying to grow. Mm-hmm. Like that's the thing that really makes me so proud of who you are is you keep wanting, like since I've met you, you're like, yeah, I want to start drinking less. I want to actually have that real relationship where I can fall in love and be true to a person. And like, it's really not easy for you because of where you've come from and the things you've witnessed and seen, but you keep trying. And every time you get knocked down, you get back up. Mm-hmm. And I just want you to keep trying because I know, and I see who you really are. And I don't want you to think that this experience of these people who like kind of trapped you there, because they couldn't take a joke.
No, they did their job.
Yeah, you know what I mean, though. Like, but you listen, they did what they had to do. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I even have a joke about it where I go to my son's PTA meeting and they're like, how are you today, Kate? And I'm like, a little suicidal.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know what state you were in. So maybe you were really in a place that had to be there for 5 days.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I needed rehab.
Okay, good.
I definitely...
Then I'm glad that they did what they needed to do. I just want you to just keep moving forward and trying to get healthier and staying away from substances, because I see who you are. And it's not that you're not there already, but I also see the blocks that you still have to get through mm-hmm. to heal. And I just want you to keep going, because you're a very rare spirit in the sense of you want to keep healing. Like, you're not someone who's like, eh, fuck that. I'm going to keep doing these things that bring me the same results, but fuck it, it's what I know. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, there, I'm sure you still go into some cycles.
Sure.
But you really keep fighting to get out of them. And I do think you're going to get there with the proper support system. And that's, you know, obviously friends like me, but I think you need to go to regular therapy. I think
oh God.
You do, Phil. I mean, I go to regular therapy, you know, like I think so many people are almost like allergic to the term, especially if they weren't raised in a way, if they're raised in a tougher neighborhood, therapy is not something you like celebrate. I mean, even my ex-husband used to call therapy the rapist, because if you break down the word, you
Absolutely.
Know, and, but it was like so corny, because I'm like, I'm sorry that like you think talking about your feelings and actually feeling them and crying, like it's a sad place to think that that's a weakness, because it's not. And I do think you need regular therapy. I think you need friends that are very sensitive and can go there in that place with you mm-hmm. and not, they're not scared of those emotions. You probably need AA meetings, to be honest. Like,
Jesus Christ.
I'm serious, though. Like, this shit's real. And when you don't take it seriously, mm-hmm. you keep finding yourself, like, maybe you'll feel good for 2 weeks. You're like, ah, no, I'm fine. Look, I'm fine. And then, boom, you find yourself right back in the same spot. Mm-hmm. And listen, I battle depression and anxiety as well. And it's fucked. A lot of people do, though. And it's not about ever, quote unquote, overcoming it, like, where you get to this place where everything's birds and roses. It's about getting to a place where you're quote unquote healthy enough that when it does arise, you know how to now deal with it. So when I get in my really low spot, I'm like, okay, do I call, because I'm a love addict, right? I'm like, do I call this one dude who actually cannot meet my needs and will actually hurt me more than help me? Mm-hmm. Or do I call my therapist right now? Do I call my brother? It's all about choices opening up to you when you're in that place mm-hmm. and then being able to move forward in a way that's not sabotaging yourself.
You know what's crazy? There is something out there that makes everything like birds and roses.
What is it?
Molly. Molly is the shit. No, I'm just kidding.
You're the worst.
Just kidding. I'm just playing.
Well, that's the thing about drugs and drinking, right? When you do that shit for a fucking hour or longer, you are with the birds and the roses. But the problem, and you can ask any meth addict this, is that that shit slowly deteriorates, whether it's your physical body or your emotional body. But that's why, I mean, it's a joke, but it's also real, because that's why people do drugs. They don't do it for the fucking 10 years later pictures in jail that you see them with their face rotted away.
Sure.
They do it because it is a quick fix to taking away the pain. So it's so tempting. It's literally like the devil on your shoulder being like, oh, you want to feel happy real quick? Here you go.
Absolutely.
And I'm not a big drug person, but I did create a drug-like substance in men. Which sounds crazy, but I was getting almost a very similar heroin-like reaction to running to a guy's house that I know I shouldn't be going to. It was like that thrill. Ooh, I shouldn't be there. Ooh, this is kind of hurting myself. But just the rush of like having sex with that person and being in that environment mm-hmm. did take away my pain for a full day, because I was creating this fucking drama, this spike of adrenaline. But then you always come crashing down. And like after the sex, I'd always feel depleted, unhappy. I'd beat myself up until I hit a point where it just wasn't worth it to keep repeating that behavior. But it took a lot of fucking years of repeating it to come to a place and say, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep hurting myself. And you know what? I'll tell you what, life feels a little boring sometimes.
Oh yeah.
You wake up and you're looking at your boring ass room and you're like, oh, this is life, you know? But the longer you let yourself be in that openness, mm-hmm. the more colors become vibrant, sounds become clearer and crisper. And like, it's not the same kind of druggy spike, but something else does happen and another kind of magic comes in, but you have to be patient. And that's the problem with people like me and you. We want immediate gratification.
That's very true. I am a big fan of immediate gratification.
Most people are. We don't want to fucking wait. We don't want to work
hard
for
results.
Oh,
I hate waiting. I hate waiting for everything and anything. Just now, when I got here, I was waiting outside of the studio for like 7 minutes, and I was just sitting there like, God, I hate this. I hate waiting so much.
Waiting's awful.
Part of it, and it's part of me, for me anyways, it's like a paranoia. I have really bad paranoia where I think everybody's setting me up to where it's like, hey, Phil, you want to come do this podcast? And I get all the way here and I'm on time. And then it's like, psych, haha, idiot.
Can you imagine I did that to you after everything you've just been through? And I'm like, psych, loser. No one wants you on podcast.
That's where my brain goes.
Wow.
That's immediately where my brain goes. If somebody's like, all right, I'll be out in 5 minutes, and 5 minutes goes by, immediately I'm like, oh, fuck. Somebody's fucking me. I'm getting played.
We can laugh at it, but that's a real sad, real place for a lot of people, whether it's paranoia or it's in another form. Like, we all have these quote unquote crazy voices in our head that go, I told you this wasn't going to work out. I told you you're not good enough for dot, 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 you know, and it's about letting that exist with kindness and being like, oh, wow, there's a real part of me that's paranoid, you know, and kind of loving on that part. We all have these different parts of ourselves, like tons and tons of parts. We're very multifaceted. Mm-hmm. We have a paranoid part. We have an angry part. And you can even split the anger into things. Like, you can have the angry clown. You can have the, like, angry, sadistic murderer. You know, like, there's just so many different pieces that we have and voices. And it's actually through compassion and integration of these parts that you're able to move forward in a much kinder way.
Sure.
But it's not like you were raised like that, you know, in the environment. It's not like people aren't like, just
I was love. Actually, I was raised.
I don't mean parent. I don't mean your parents. I mean, like, you were friends with a lot of tough fucking dudes.
Oh, okay.
Where you had to, like, prove how tough you were. And that's what I mean, is like, you can't walk out at that age being like, no, guys, it's all about love and compassion.
I can't
to
do
yourself.
That shit at this age. I still can't do that.
Well, we're working on it.
I'll get my ass whooped.
By who?
All my friends. Who? All my best friends. I've had.
I guess I don't know your best friends. I'm like, look, I want to go talk. I'm like your mom. Let me talk to these best friends, Phil, and let them know what cool really is.
Oh, yeah. No, I probably, back in California, I probably had, I don't know, it was a smaller circle, probably like 7-8 people that I really, really fucked with growing up. And yeah, one of them I could probably really, I'll say two of them. Two of them I could probably really come to on some like deep, sad feelings type shit. But we'll still fight after it. We're not.
Yeah, but that's okay.
We're not just going to get away with it.
I think you should be the leader of this. Like, I know I'm sounding like my art teacher self, but just hear me out, Phil. Hear me out. So many people are in the kind of pain. They're just not talking about it. Like, I don't know if you saw Kid Cudi's Facebook post recently. And he finally came out about having to go into a rehab center for depression and all this stuff. And if you look at the comments below, people are like thanking him.
Yeah.
They're like, yo, I'm feeling the same stuff. Thank you for voicing it. So it's the brave one who's the first one to say, yo, I'm in some serious fucking shit and I can't carry this anymore.
I actually convinced my dad that same shit, because I posted that. The status basically said I went to rehab for depression. I got what I needed out of it. Thank you all for your thoughts and prayers, blah, blah, blah. And my dad called me and he was like, you might want to take that down. You might want to think about who's looking at your Facebook. You're looking for a new job, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, that the reason you're talking about is why I'm not going to take it down.
Yeah.
Because my messages blew up with people saying, I've been through this too. I'm going through it now. I've been going through it for 20 years. I've been going through it for this long. If you need any help, I got you. And, you know, it's a two-way street. I got your back. And like, just when you're recovering, a big part of recovery is healing other people.
Yeah.
So like, people feeling comfortable enough to come to me. And these are like acquaintances, you know? There's comedians that I've done maybe two shows with, and they're comfortable enough to come to me and say, hey, I've been there and I know how it is, and I'm here for you if you need me. And being able to establish that connection and being like, look, you know, if you need me, I got you. If I need you, I'll hit you. And like, that's because there's like a stigma with mental health. And it sucks because it keeps people who need help from getting help because they don't want to be persecuted. And so talking about it, just getting it out in the open and just talking about it like it's, you know, just another Facebook status, because really that's all it is. It helps.
Yeah. It's shocking how many of us hold back what we really feel and think because we think we have to.
Mm-hmm.
When in the truth of the matter is most people are probably feeling a similar way. They're just not speaking it because they think they're going to be judged. And that's why I'm saying, like, you're saying you can't say this to like your boys or your closest friends. And I'm saying you can. Like, that's what true strength is being the first to actually say, you know, like, yo, I feel fucked up half the
time. It's funny too, because the like my main man, my big cousin Jason, like my best friend, he's beating my ass because I didn't tell him. I talked to him this morning, like 5 a.m. on the phone. It was like 2 a.m. his time. And I was talking to him, and he's like, I'm whooping your ass when you get home, dude. I'm kicking your fucking ass. How could you not? First of all, how do I find out you're in rehab through somebody else, first of all? Second of all, how are you going through shit like that and not talking to me about it? And so, I mean, I guess I'm damned if I do, I'm damned if I don't. I'm getting my ass whooped somewhere.
No, but
I
listen,
know that's going to happen.
Listen, no one needs to whoop your ass. That's a funny way of him telling you I love you. I get it. Dudes are funny like that. But that's the thing. This is why when I talk about feminism, I say it's not about men or women. Feminism, the actual energy behind it, is fighting for this place within us, the really feeling, sensitive, creative part that we all have.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all, men almost have it worse in that way, where they think they're not allowed to express weakness or sadness because it makes them a bitch or it makes them weak. And
you
honestly,
you can express sadness, you can't express weakness. Sadness is fine.
But we all are imperfect. We all have weaknesses. It's the people who try to like be tough and pretend they don't have weaknesses that to me look like pussies.
Yeah,
I'm
but
over
the
it.
Only problem with that is there's environments where people prey on the weak. That's the reason they do that.
Yeah, because but that only works in environments where this belief is still bought into. Because if someone tried to prey on me because I'm as sensitive as I am, I would look at them, I'd probably have tears running down my fucking face while also being like, you're not allowed to fucking bully me. And yeah, I'm crying right now, but these are fucking proud ass fucking tears because I'm still a fucking human. Yeah, I would. And I'd be like, you should be ashamed of yourself.
The wolf would come out.
Yeah, the wolf would come out. And we need more wolves coming out of all of us, of this really animalistic, truthful nature that's both deeply sensitive, feeling. We all have weak parts. Even a wolf can get fucking caught in a trap.
Absolutely.
And we all just need to like express this part of ourselves. And bullies don't work on me anymore.
Good.
I'm like, yo, I'm not fucking 12 anymore.
If anybody
your shit
ever
doesn't
bullies
work.
You call me. That's the first thing.
If I don't
anybody
need to be
ever,
call, I don't need to call
I know
anyone,
you don't
Phil.
Need to, but it would be my pleasure to come and
okay,
handle that.
Thank you.
All right, I got you.
Thank
Nobody
you.
Bullies Kate
I don't
Wolf
know if there's anyone scarier
around.
Than me, but I appreciate it because when I really get fucking, when someone really triggers me, there is something. I mean, I had a fucked up childhood and I got bullied a lot by parents, so. Mm-hmm. There's a part in me that you'd probably not just be shocked to see, but actually really excited to see that part of me come out. You'd be like, yeah, that's my girl.
I probably would love it.
You'd, yeah. But like when it comes out, my anger can match pretty much anyone's, but it's always for a good cause. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always because someone is trying to bully or, you know, and I don't want to say always for a good cause because there have definitely been relationship fights where I'm also just, you know, wrong. Triggered and wrong, whatever you want to call it. Sure. Yeah, no, there have been times where I'm wrongfully mad, I've come to a point where I'm like, yo, your shit's not going to work on me anymore because I know how this shit works now.
Uh-huh.
Like, you can't, like, because people still try to use their old tactics, even unconsciously, where they say something really passive aggressive or manipulative and try to feed on your fear or like, you know, and I'm just like, yo, that shit doesn't work. Like, I know what game you're doing. Mm-hmm. I'm not 10. I'm not even 30 anymore. I'm 30 fucking five and I've lived life and I've seen people trying to put me down and it's just not going to fucking work. And at the end of the day, being an adult, I can just get the fuck out of this situation.
Absolutely.
The only person that I can't walk away from is Shane, and I don't want to walk away from Shane because he's a beautiful human being and honest mom.
I don't
want to
walk away from Shane.
Shane's the best.
Shane is amazing.
He's amazing.
He's the best kid.
He's amazing. But like at the end of the day, I'm like, I have my, that's my boy. Like that's, and he's becoming more and more like my close friend as he gets older and older. We watched Castaway the other day together.
Nice.
Like we're just having we watched
Classic
I Am Legend
movie.
And he was worried about me. He's like, Mom, you're not going to sleep. Stop. Like you shouldn't be watching this.
Hilarious.
So like, other than that though, I'm like, I realize that I can walk away. So I'll try to talk it through with someone who's willing to, but if not, I'm like, bye.
Sure.
I don't have time for bullshit. I'm a grown woman and I get to make my life what I want to make it. And I can express myself and be weird. No one's allowed to look at me with a fucking attitude. Oh, okay. I did a show last Friday at Valley Forge. I did two. The first one was fucking fire. The second one, I had some fucking uptight white bitches in the audience.
Nice.
Trying to judge me. And I'm on stage. And I said to her, I said, you can leave. I was like, you can walk out right now and leave. And she's like, that's mean. And I said, no, it's not mean. I said, you're interrupting my set saying mean fucking things. So either sit here and be a cool person or get the fuck out. And only half the people were clapping with me and half of them were still kind of judging me. And I looked at everyone and I said the same speech. I was like, I know why I'm here on earth. We are all here to express our unique soul song and to
God,
to
I wish
shout
I had
it.
Been at this show.
And God. To shout it at the top of our lungs. I'm like, you can't. I'm like, you can look at me. You can shake your heads. You can judge me. I don't give a fuck. I said, I'm out of high school. I'm out of elementary school. I don't teach anymore. You guys can't bully me into not being myself. I don't give a fuck anymore.
You go, Kate.
And half the people were clapping, but it's the truth. Like, it still hurt my feelings. I didn't like the people judging me. It hurt. And it's not about not being hurt, but I didn't let that hurt and their judgment stop me from doing my shit. And that's,
absolutely.
I mean, it's such a great place to be at where you're like, I'm going to be me regardless.
Sure.
I don't care if I have less fans or whatever, like, but nothing's going to make me not be me.
Absolutely.
Shouts out to a listener, Candace. She came out and to support. So she got to witness the crazy. So hi, Candace. Thanks for coming.
What up, Candace?
Phil says, what up?
She has no idea who I am.
No, she probably does because you've been on before and
oh,
she
true.
Listens. Yeah.
That's true.
It was a great episode, except you and Usama bullied me.
I was actually...
That's true. You were more on my side. And I love Usama. He just loves getting a reaction out of me. And he's good at it.
I love Usama, too. He came and visited me.
Did he really?
Yeah. Him.
What a fucking good dude.
He's a great dude.
I didn't, because I didn't have any information.
I hate you.
It's
forever.
Yeah, right? Whatever.
Yeah.
It's probably good that I didn't have it, because I was in a fucking... I've been in a weird, funky place. So,
yeah.
Nah, it's okay. I still would have come and not brought you down.
No,
can you imagine I come and bring you down?
Honestly, it was freeing in a weird way. Like, it was nice after a while.
Like, once you settled and stopped fighting the center?
Yeah, it was just basically like...
What happened there?
Oh, man, what happened? I ate a bunch of food.
They had good food there?
No, but I ate every piece of it. I don't... What is that? Wasting food is a sin, so...
Good for you.
Every piece of food they put in front of me, I ate. I did a lot of push-ups. I wrote like a madman.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was
you wrote jokes, or you just wrote and got it all out?
I wrote jokes. I was writing material, which was great.
It's going to be some real material.
Oh, yeah. It's I've got some good suicide material coming up.
Yeah, for the suicide audience. But
yep.
I mean, you really need to talk on stage about how you were making jokes to the doctor.
I'm going to.
Okay.
That's going to be
you.
That's going to be part
Although
of
Although it was for the best.
It was for the best. That's going to be part of the bit. And my doctor's name was Dr. Fatal, but when I first read his name, I read it Dr. Fatal, so I didn't
really?
Trust him at first. Yeah, I was really scared of him, to be honest. He scared the shit out of me, but he turned out to be a cool guy.
I look a lot into names,
yeah.
Which is not a surprise. So when I see someone have like a fucked up last name, I'm like, no, I'm good.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm the same way.
Although sometimes it's like a paradox to trick you, so it could be like a last name like Fatal, and they're actually going to give you life through like death.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
I love how crazy you are. I swear to God, you are just one of my favorite people to talk to in the whole world.
I didn't even realize that was a crazy thing to say.
It's every time I talk to you, I feel like I'm growing a little bit.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. I don't want to cry with you saying that, but it means a lot to me.
I'm really serious. Like every time I talk to you, and you'd be talking about, and like, like, you know me, I'm not into like chakras and all that stuff, but every time I talk to you, it's like, it's deep, and I can tell that you genuinely care. And we talk about some deep shit sometimes. So it's, I always enjoy our conversations.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Me too. And I told you this morning when I called you and asked you to come on, like, because I was like, I didn't know if you'd want to come on, right? You just went through this. And then I thought about it and I was like, what I love that we have a similarity is that we can be in really dark places and see some dark shit, but we're still able to laugh at it or at least just talk about it.
Sure.
Like, it's very rare for either one of us to be going through something and say, I just had like a weird lisp there, to be going through something and say, yeah, I don't want to talk about it, which maybe would even be healthy for us. I don't know. But mm-hmm. we're always willing to go there because I think on the deepest level, you don't see it as a weakness. I think you haven't owned it yet, maybe with some of your old friends.
Mm-hmm.
But I think on a deep, deep level, you know that, you know, being able to go to the depths of yourself, the dark places, the sad places, the sensitive places, the weak places, whatever that even means.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the funny thing about the word weak. I want to go on a little rant right there you know, like you see pictures of those flowers that come through cement, you know, like
the roads that grew from concrete.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like those things where you see, I posted something on my Facebook a week ago of these like plants growing in crazy places that you know, they're defying life almost. They're like, nah, fuck no, you're not going to take me down.
Yeah.
And that's what I think. That's what I almost mean by the word weak, because here you have these really fragile, frail flowers that if my human hand went and plucked it, would kill it. And yet it's so strong in how vulnerable it is. Like here you have this vulnerable, malleable thing that's growing almost through concrete.
Yeah.
That to me is strength, because it's like, no matter, it's still allowing itself to open its petals and to take in the sun and to absorb life and to fight for its right to live.
That's why people love Tupac so much.
Tell me. Well, I just posted a Tupac thing.
Did you?
Yeah.
What was it?
It was him talking about Trump.
Oh, nice.
The whole corruption of power and stuff.
Yeah. That's why people...
Why? Tell me. I don't know too much about Tupac. I just loved him.
He put out a book of poetry, and it was called The Rose That Grew From Concrete.
Really?
And it's this gangster rapper writing poems about love and you know, that... touches people on that level. And once you touch people on that level, they kind of stick with you forever. That's why, you know, even though he's gone, he's still relevant. He's always going to be relevant. As long as hip-hop music is relevant, Tupac.
Yeah.
That's why that connection. Because
he spoke from the soul.
He was one of those. Absolutely.
There's a hair salon across the street from me called Urban Rose.
Nice.
And I finally got my hair cut there. But I was staring at it for like 5 years and it just always spoke to me.
Yeah.
You know, cause I look out my window and it's just there, and you know me, I look into meaning and I could just feel it. I'm like, there's something to this place. I don't know if they called it that for that reason or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went there a couple months ago and it was so cool walking into this place that I've stared at. Cause sometimes at night they have this one sign and it says Doobie, and it just shine. It goes like on and off, and it's like speaking to me.
Yeah.
And I knew it didn't mean like a doobie that you smoke, you know, because sure. I'm like, why would this hair salon have just doobie flashing? But it was like, it just spoke to me. And I've been looking at it for years. So I walked in and I was kind of like, I can't believe I'm in the place I've been staring at. And the first thing I asked the owner, because she was the one doing my hair, I was like, why is it called Urban Rose, to see if it matched? And her daughter was like, it was my idea because, you know, we grew up in this kind of environment because I live in Jersey City and it's pretty urban. She's like, and I see all of us who like come through it as roses, you know, mm-hmm. we grow out of the concrete. And I was like, I knew it, you know, nice. I was probably too excited for them. They're like, who's this white chick getting too excited for us? It was so cool. And then I asked what doobie meant. I was like, I have to ask because it just speaks to me. And they were saying, because they actually do a lot of like hair weaving yeah. there. And a woman was doing it right in front of me. And it was like blowing my mind at mm-hmm. how intricate it was. Like, oh, yeah. I was like, this is a fucking art form that I did not appreciate before because I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And she was doing it. So I was witnessing it. And then she was explaining that the doobies, like the hair weaving thing. And I still have yet to fully make sense of what it means. But I do think if I'm going to go into it, it's kind of like the tapestry of life of all of us being woven together and connected, even though there's this illusion that we're separate. It's yeah. the veil. It's when you come onto the planet Earth. Let's get a little weird. there's this illusion. It's like the smoky fog of, you know, we're limited. We have limited vision of what we see. Mm-hmm. And yet that's why you have to go into the feelings, because if you just go by what the eyes are perceiving, you're going to be limited. When you can actually feel into your heart, you can feel the connection, not just to people, but to animals, to the earth, to even like products like this light. Like if you really felt into it, mm-hmm. you'd feel its life force. So it's like, I don't know, the doobie kind of reminded me of the tapestry of life and how we're all connected, even though there's this illusion of not being. And here I'm looking at the store that I'd never stepped into, you know, and it spoke to me. And then I walked in and I was like, oh yeah, it was speaking to
See,
me.
That's what I'm talking about. That right there. That's a perfect example of why I enjoy our conversations, because I would see that sign and I'd just be like, doobie, smoke weed. That's, and I would
You'd
keep
be like,
walking.
Yo, the universe is asking
the
me
universe
to smoke.
Is telling me to smoke weed. I got to go find some weed. Luckily for me, my weed guy lives in Jersey City. Perfect.
Well, I guess we can make our own meaning out of things.
Yeah.
But we can also use signs and symbols as a way to excuse bad behavior.
It's just
awesome.
Listen,
smoking weed's not necessarily bad behavior. It's your relationship to weed. If you are constantly
smoking weed
going
is awesome
to it.
Behavior,
listen,
in my opinion.
I really enjoy smoking weed, but I really also make sure I don't do it all the time. Because
sure.
it's something that you can slip into instead of actually feeling the discomfort. You're like, oh, let me take away that feeling. And it's like flattening the wave of life. Mm-hmm. So we're like cosmic surfers. And you have to feel the highs and the lows sometimes, and a lot of times both at once. You can mm-hmm. be happy and sad at the same time.
Sure.
But the moment that there's confusion or discomfort, if you're going to flatten it, not just with weed, but with drinking or sex or whatever, every time you flatten it, you are stopping the process. And the process, which you will probably want to stop it because it's uncertainty and unknown, and it's also process. It takes time. Mm-hmm. But the problem when you stop and you flatten the waves, if you had let them continue, even though it's uncomfortable, something new can be created. Something
Absolutely.
New can come out of that. But we're often, Rumi has a quote, why stay in prison when the door's wide open? Because we're scared of the unknown. And we don't like process. We like immediate gratification. And I'm there. I have to sometimes talk to myself. I'm like, don't smoke weed. I know it feels boring, but put on a movie, call a friend. Like, you can get through this uncomfortable, quote unquote, boring place.
You know movies are way better when you're high, right?
Phil, I do know that. Well, yes and no. My attention span actually gets a little funky when I'm high, but I get really into movies. I can be
I do
dead
too.
Sober and see a movie, and like Shane almost gets annoyed at how into it I am.
Yeah.
Like he's like, it's just a movie, and I'm like, you're ruining it for me. I go into it. Like I am there, you know, so if it's, I can't really watch horror movies for that reason.
That's actually the only thing I watch pretty much. I watch very strictly horror and stand-up comedy specials. That's
wow.
pretty much all
Didn't
I watch.
Didn't we talk about this last time you were on about you and the horror movies?
Possibly.
about how, well, it's like a spike. It's almost like a way to like feel.
Yeah, that's why I like it. It's like the
it breaks the through
reaction.
Yeah,
it's an action movie. It's like explosions, whatever.
You're like next, been there, done that, yeah. Got the T-shirt.
Yeah,
let me see someone's skull getting ripped off.
Not even that, but just like shit popping out at you, and you're like like because I get into movies too, especially if I smoke a little weed and I watch a scary movie. Oh, don't talk to me, don't touch me. I am here. I am right here. I am in this movie. I'm a person in this movie, and shit pops out. It scares the shit out of me, and I enjoy that feeling.
I don't enjoy it. I get too terrified. Emotional,
and I guess it's, I don't even know if that's an emotional response, but just I love that. That's, I only watch scary movies. I only go to the theaters for scary movies and stand-up specials.
It's like the opposite of me.
Yeah.
Did you see Kevin Hart and Jimmy Fallon go into the Blood Manor haunted house?
I did not. But I'm sure it was
you
hilarious.
You have to see it. It's funny.
I did see Kevin Hart and Conan O'Brien work out, and that was hysterical.
I have to watch that one.
That was hysterical.
No, I watched them going through Blood Manor, and I was like, I would not last a fucking second. Yeah. Like, they're touching them, too. Like, I'm like, you have to be brave to be one of those actors, because if you do that to me, I might accidentally get so triggered I punch you in the face or headbutt you.
That happened to me.
You headbutted someone, or
I punched I don't know what you want to call him, a skeleton, I guess. I punched a skeleton in the face. I like jaw checked him because it was at May, June in Chico. There's a Silver Dollar Fair, and oh wait, no, this couldn't be this at Silver Dollar Fair because it was Halloween. I'm not sure what it was, but it was a haunted house and it was at the fairgrounds. I know that much. And I was walking through the haunted house and there's like a skeleton against the wall and I'm like fucking around. I like touch its mask and it moved. And as soon as it moved, my other hand came up and just uppercutted him real quick. And I think they made
me. Was he okay?
Oh, he was fine, but they made me leave.
Yeah, well, that makes sense, Phil.
Yeah.
You might be a little too trigger happy to go into a haunted house then.
I didn't think he was real. I thought it was just like a decoration on
so
the wall.
So why were you punching a decoration?
Because he moved. That's why it scared me. I thought it was like a decoration on the wall, so I touched its mask. And as soon as it like jumped at me, it was just like reflex, kind of caught him in the chin.
No, I don't do haunted houses. I'll tell you what though. So Blood Manor is on my way out of the Holland Tunnel.
Yeah.
So I'm like waiting, I'm in traffic and I had no idea Blood Manor was there.
Yeah.
And I see it was a man dressed as a zombie, but I thought it was a man really fucked up on some shit. Like I did. I thought I was a man on like some fucking meth. I like locked my doors. I was like, well, the apocalypse is happening. Right. Like,
Walking
that's
dead.
Some real shit. I was like, I had no idea he was dressed up. So I thought, I wasn't sure. I wasn't like, oh, that's a zombie. I was like, yo, that dude's on. Because I'm sure you've seen some dudes in the city that almost look like zombies. They're so.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Like on a lot of drugs, fucked up.
I saw their dick.
Stumbling.
On the subway. It was ashy. It was gross.
How'd that happen?
Oh, man. That's just the one train on a Tuesday. That's just...
You're having different experiences than I am.
No, I've seen...
An ashy dick.
I've seen three homeless penises on the one train since in my two years and some change.
Thank the fucking Lord I have not seen any dick on a train because I am very sensitive and it would upset me.
Oh, it would upset me. I didn't like it.
They just showed you their dick?
No. One of them was really drunk and pulled his dick out and started pissing in the middle of the subway car. One of them was passed out, but his pants were ripped and his dick was just kind of like flopped
chilling.
Over.
Yeah. It just got freed out of the cage.
And one guy, he had to be on drugs or something because he was just undressing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're probably on trains a lot later than I am.
I am. I'm on that 4 a.m. train.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what's happening. Yeah. I don't do trains that late. I try not to, at least. Like, if I know I'm going to have some late shows, I take my car in. And then, you know, I hate walking home late at night.
Sure.
hate it, but I walk real fucking crazy. Like, I stomp my feet real loud so, like, people think I'm the predator. You know what I mean? Like, that's some crazy bitch you don't want to fuck with. And if it's real late, I'll pretend that my boyfriend and I just broke up, and I'll pull out my phone and start yelling because no one wants that energy around them.
Yeah.
You know? So I try to, like, put out a certain energy of, like, don't fuck with me right now. Like, it'll be more hassle than you want. I may look sweet, but I will fuck your world up.
You're a wolf.
I'm a wolf.
Straight up.
I am really loving my last name lately. Wolves are like really, I don't know if you've been picking up on the wolf vibe going on lately. Wolf. Like lots of wolf memes and shit going on with all the crazy full moons we've been getting. People are posting wolves and I just always am like saluting.
Wolves have been my favorite animal since I was a kid.
Shut up, really?
I swear.
Why? What is it about the wolf?
Oh man, what is it about
have you,
the
you've
wolf?
Never felt into what it is about the wolf. You just liked it.
I really did. I liked that, I guess part of it is like the pack mentality. Me and my friends, we were like, we were the wolves. But also
a
just,
tapestry or a doobie of wolves.
Exactly. A doobie of wolves. me and my wolves. So there, I guess there's that, but I don't know. I don't even know what it is. Something just always kind of drew me to wolves. I always thought they were really beautiful, but deadly and scary. And so I don't know, something about wolves I always liked.
Yeah, there's something, they have such a graceful beauty to them, and yet they really are fierce mm-hmm. and can fuck you up. Mm-hmm. And yet wolves are what we domesticated into dogs. Man domesticated wolf, and that's what dogs are. So it's really interesting that like dogs at their truest nature are wolves mm-hmm. and how much, you know, man loves his dog, and yet it derived from this wolf that a man couldn't really have in his house because maybe would kill him. So it's just a really interesting thing.
I know a guy who has two timber wolves.
Really?
Yes.
And he domesticated them and they're loving.
Oh, yeah,
and
they're chill. He walks them like they're regular dogs. They're fucking
pretty
huge.
Amazing. I really hope that one day I have pet wolves. That would be so rad. Although I probably would get an arm bit off, and then I couldn't even blame anyone.
Nah,
like you never blame. Whenever there's
a
person,
you'd be okay.
Listen, whenever you have a person who gets attacked by their wild animal, whether it's a tiger, a crocodile, they're keeping in their Manhattan apartment, whatever, you never feel bad for that person. Never.
Absolutely not.
You're like,
you
yo, yeah. What were you thinking? So I don't want to be that person because I swear to God, if something happened, no one would feel bad for me. I'd be a meme real quick,
nah,
and I don't want to go out as a meme.
I think if you get them early, you get them when they're pups, you'd be fine.
I think I'll just if I really want to, maybe I'll just adopt a dog that sure. kind of looks like a wolf.
I had a Siberian Husky for a long time.
They're amazing dogs.
Oh, she
and
was
so
the best.
Fucking cute.
She was the best.
You know, I got attacked by a dog when I was 11.
I have a scar on my face right here from getting attacked by a dog.
What kind?
This one, I have multiple.
Why are you getting attacked by dogs all the time?
Sometimes you just
doing some shit you're not supposed to be
sometimes
doing.
Sometimes you just get attacked by dogs. That's just, no, I don't know. This one was our dog. This one was, my dad's Great Dane.
A Great Dane attacked you?
Didn't attack me. I think I have a scar over here from getting actually attacked by a Doberman. But this one was, my dad had a Great Dane named Alice, and I was a baby, and I think I like jumped off the bed and karate chopped her, and she wasn't ready for
okay,
it.
Okay, well, that's on you.
Yeah, that one was my fault. The Doberman wasn't my fault. The Doberman just kind of showed up out of nowhere and got excited and freaked out.
I got bit by a Doberman about 6 months ago, but it didn't actually get the skin. It just got my jeans.
Oh, good.
But I knew it was about to happen because I was with my friend Karen and her dog Winston, who is known to get a little fiery, we'll say, aggressive. And I got so fucking high because it was the only time I've ever really smoked out of a bong and I had no idea what happens.
Hilarious.
So, and she didn't know what a sensitive little flower I am. Like she knew and didn't know.
She turned you out.
And I got the kind of high where I saw the Matrix, like really saw it.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And
were your legs tingling?
Everything. Like I was about to leave my body. Like no one was believe. Like I say no one as if there was more than just Karen. But I was like, yo, no. Like
I'm fucked up, man.
I am fucked up. Like, this is ayahuasca. Like, I'm supposed to be in the woods. So, yeah, hilarious. Her dog, I looked at her dog and I realized wild animals and that it can pick up on what's happening. I'm like, oh, so I'm freaking the fuck out. Your dog's picking up on it. It's going to attack me. And of course he did. She's like, no, Winston wouldn't attack. And then I went to get up to go to the bathroom and Winston started biting me. It was fine because he didn't hurt me, but I was like, ah.
Sure.
And I ran out and, you know, it was funny. We ended up laughing because I was fine, but that was some shit, man. I said to her, I was like, that, me getting attacked that high would be like me doing ayahuasca in the jungle and a fucking gorilla busting through the fucking jungle.
Yeah.
I'm like, I was like, what the fuck? Like, it was like, it was
I have
intense.
A dog back home. I stole him, actually.
From who?
A neighbor. I don't know if I should even.
Well, if you stole a dog, you probably shouldn't. Why'd you steal a dog?
They were beating the shit out of it.
Fuck yeah. Good for you, Phil.
They weren't feeding it. It was emaciated and
what is wrong with people?
I don't know. I don't know if they wanted the dog. I don't know what was going on, but the neighbor.
So you didn't steal it, you saved it.
I guess, if that's what you want to call it. I was going
home. I love
home.
That mentality, though, because like you can be like, I saved the jeans from Macy's.
Yeah,
okay?
Exactly. I saved a lot of things from Macy's in my day. No.
No, but I do think that you did save that dog. Oh, I don't think stealing. Like, if you see a child getting beaten every day by its parents, I mean, I guess that is still technically kidnapping, but I'm like, you save that child.
Well, that depends on the child also.
No, no child deserves to get hit, Phil.
I admit many children who deserve to get hit.
No, they deserve to be reparented. No, they deserve to have actual loving discipline. That's the problem, is that, you know, being against hitting a child isn't about letting a child walk all over you. Mm-hmm. Like, Shane follows rules. He's not an asshole, but that's because I've lovingly disciplined him.
Sure.
You know, and same when you're a teacher. Like, I taught, and I taught in Elizabeth for a year. It was rough. Never, ever would it have been okay. First of all, it's not legal for me to hit a child. Mm-hmm. You can actually discipline through love. So hitting's just fucking lazy.
Oh, sure. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I'm just saying some kids are assholes. And well, some kids,
they probably have asshole parents and they're modeling behavior off them.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
I'm just very feisty when it comes to
Hitting kids. Yeah.
No, I think it's like hitting animals. You know, like if I see someone hitting an animal, I'm like, you're a fucking monster.
Absolutely. That's why.
You don't hit a kid.
That's
they don't
why
know
I took
better.
The dog. Because it was my next door neighbor and I had to listen to that dog cry at night. And I was living down in Southern California at the time. And I was driving back up to Chico for Christmas break. And I just undid the gate and put him in my truck and drove up with him. And kind of a gross story. The dog shit in the backseat of my truck, mm-hmm. right? And I was like, all right, well, I'll clean that up when I get home.
Oh, God.
I get home. I open the door to the truck. My mom comes outside. I say, Merry Christmas. I got you a present. And this dog runs out, licks my mom in the face, big hug. I go to clean up the shit. It's gone.
Did the dog eat its own shit?
Yeah.
Jesus. That I can't imagine. I can't imagine. I know animals are different, but I just can't imagine eating your own shit.
It was a long car ride. And I tried to make it as quick as possible so I could kind of get him.
So it's your fault he ate his own shit.
Sure, probably. I mean, but you know.
It's just crazy. Like, you could leave me alone in a room with my own shit for days and I wouldn't eat it.
Well, yeah. Well,
were you not feeding the dog?
I just got the dog.
Got it. You just rescued him.
I had just got the
dog. Okay. Well, you learned from your mistakes.
Exactly.
That'll be the last time that dog eats its own shit, I hope.
I hope so. He's not the smartest dog in the world, but I love him very much.
Aw, I'm happy you saved him. God, people who fucking beat animals and beat on animals, God damn it. It's just like, honestly, uh-oh. Well, that's kind of what made me, yeah, you know about it.
The wolf's coming out.
Yeah, people, well, that's what honestly made me go vegetarian is like, I so can feel an animal's pain.
Yeah.
And it just, because they don't have as much power as a human, it seems extra cruel. It's like beating a kid. It's like that kid feels trapped.
Sure.
That kid can't really stand up for itself until the kid becomes maybe a teenager and then is as big as the parents. Mm-hmm. But like, for me, like overpowering in any way, whether it's like verbally, physically, overpowering something that just innately has less power than you is the most cowardly, fucked up thing you can do. And it really does upset me. And I'm not saying I've never accidentally done that. I'm sure there have been times with Shane where he's like, can I do something? And I say, no. And he's like, why? And I said something. I try not to say because I said so, because mm-hmm. that's shitty. But like, I'm sure there are times where he's felt that. But I try as best as I can to not ever do that, whether it's to a child, an animal, because fuck that shit.
I'll say this. I am thankful for every ass whooping I ever got from my grandparents, from my mom and dad, from my aunties and uncles, from my cousins. I am a very lucky, fortunate person to be where I am right now.
I think that and the hitting did not help you.
Oh, it helped me.
I'm going to disagree.
Okay.
I'm going to compassionately disagree.
That's fine.
I'm not trying to sway you.
No, I'm telling you. I'm telling you about my life.
That sounds like some Stockholm syndrome.
It's not that at all. Because
there's so many kids who are like, I'm grateful my parents beat me, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you might think that because you still love them and because you came out well, you're, you know, attributing that way of discipline to that. And maybe you came out well because of the positive. So it's fine, but I'm definitely going to disagree with you there.
The lessons I learned from my ass whoopings kept me out of jail, probably kept me alive. So that's,
well, I don't know what the fuck you were doing. Well, I kind of do. And I'm definitely glad that it kept you out of jail, but I bet you there were other ways to discipline you and keep you out of that shit you were getting yourself into other than hitting, because clearly there was a deeper thing going on.
No, because hitting is such, like, the hitting is such a major thing. Like, that's a big deal if you're getting whooped. That's a big deal. So,
but you know what else is a big deal?
Hugs.
Like, what do you say?
Hugs.
Well, yeah, but I mean, now you just made me sound like the corniest hippie. I mean, yes, hugs are a big deal. But there are other ways that are big deals. Like, I've never done this to Shane, but I do know of kids who, like, when they kept doing bad shit, the parents, like, took everything out of their room mm-hmm. except the bed. Like, this is going to be your life. You're now in a jail cell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like there are other ways to get extreme if you need to without striking. Because when there is an energetic component of violence mm-hmm. that happens there. And listen, there are other ways to be violent other than hitting.
Sure.
Like, you can say certain things that are violent for sure. But when you are hitting, you are unconsciously or even consciously saying to that person, this is how you solve something. And I think we all, that should be a last resort. I'm not saying it's always, always, always the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are certain circumstances a kid's about to run in the street and the parent just acts and hit, you know, but you are energetically saying this is, it's violence getting put onto something else. And then it kind of repeats the cycle unless that kid does healing work. So
I get what you're saying. And
there are better ways to get a message
across.
I'm not
saying there's not. I'm not saying there's not better ways. I completely agree with you, but for me, it worked. Because
maybe.
No, it did.
I'm saying maybe. You can disagree, but I'm saying it's,
I'm very lucky to. I'm honestly just.
I'm
happy
very
to be
happy
here.
You're here. I'm happy yeah. you're out of not very lucky. Not in jail. I'm happy you're out of this rehab place.
Sure.
But I'm happy you were in. Even though it all happened in a fucked up kind of way.
Yeah, it was
traumatic.
It was good. Overall, I could bitch about it, but a lot of positive things came from it. I got what I needed out of it as far as the medication's going, and that's helping a lot. So it's good. I'm glad it happened. I didn't like the way it happened. But I don't wish it didn't happen. It needed to happen.
I'm just happy that I know you and that this is just one step on your path and you're just going to keep moving forward. I know you're going to be fine. You're a fucking warrior. You're a fighter. And this is just going to be part of your book that you write one day. That's going to be a bestseller. But like I said, don't let this harden you. You know, like, mm-hmm. that's the thing I'm trying to say is, like, weakness First of all, I hate the quote, weakness is pain leaving your body. I don't even know what the fuck. Like, I hate that shit. But
that's
I don't,
more of a, that's more of an athletic.
It just, for
that's
yeah.
For lifting
and
weights.
I just, I don't know.
That's that, for lifting weights.
But no, for me, weakness.
And it's pain is weakness leaving your body.
Whatever it is. Yeah. Weakness is pain leaving your body. Yeah. I said it the wrong way.
That's for lifting weights.
I think it's a strength to be vulnerable. And I hope that you keep letting these experiences open you up more and express your pain, express your joy, whatever needs to be expressed, and that you just keep kicking life in the dick.
I will keep kicking life in the dick. You know what I just realized?
What?
I didn't talk about sex not once in this whole podcast. That's
well,
crazy.
That's great, but you brought it up at the end.
I did.
And now we have to wrap it up.
All right.
Where can they find you? Phil from Chico.
Phil from Chico. Shoot. Google
Instagram.
Phil from Chico.
Yeah, Instagram, you're Phil from Chico.
Chico. All one word. Twitter, Phil from Chico, all one word. Facebook, Phil from Chico, three words. PhilFromChico.com. It's got all my shows.
Send them your love. Tweet at them. Tweet your positive love at him. Because he's a dope
vibes.
Person.
I'm all right.
And
you're a dope person.
Thank you. I think we're both dope.
Oh my God.
Guys, I have a show, a healing and comedy event coming up November 16th, 8 to 10 p.m. at Reflections Yoga and Center for Consciousness. It's on East 24th between 2nd and 3rd. You can find the link for it on my Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I'm going to keep putting it out. But I think also if you go to Eventbrite and put in Going Deep, you can find it. It's $30. You can buy tickets at the door, but I would try to buy tickets beforehand because it might sell out. And I'd love for you to go. And
definitely
if you want to
go.
Thank you, Phil. You might be away. But yeah. November 16th.
No, I'll be back. I'll be back.
You should come. Seriously, you should come.
I might come by.
It gets real fucking real. In a good way.
I'll be at New York Comedy Club tomorrow on the 9 o'clock
show.
This
comes out in 2 weeks. So
well,
he takes that back.
Tomorrow from when you listen to this, I will be at New York Comedy
Club.
Yeah,
no, he won't. Don't try to find him there because he might not be there. But, tarot card reading, kwolf27@gmail.com. And find me on Twitter, Instagram, @thekatewolf. Ow, ow! We're going to be...
Oh, my God.
Ow, ow! We're going to be... Phil and I are going to be getting into our true wolf nature. So, yeah, keep it real, everyone. Bye.
Bye.